Welcome to another podcast of Revival Today with Pastor Mark Choate. We're here at House of Praise. Our arms are open, and Jesus Christ is here to uphold you.
The message that God placed in my heart is fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. Again, I'm going to say fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. When you say the word sown, that means you planted. That means you sow. And so what you expect up is peace. God had put this in my spirit. And as I noticed how the testimonies have gone this morning, we were talking about how God has used you to bless somebody. This is why God put this in my spirit. I began to pray and I said, Lord, why do you want me to go in this direction? But he said that he wants us to understand that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. And he kept on putting that in my spirit. And I said, what do you mean by that, Lord? So many of us are trying to figure out what righteousness looks like. What does righteousness feel like? But the Bible says that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. That means that when you sow a spirit of peace, you represent righteousness. When you look at what's going on in the world today, it seems as if everybody is trying to figure themselves out and don't know why they don't have peace. But God is saying is that when you begin to sow peace, you're going to receive peace. Sometimes we look at our situation and we sow other things rather than sow in the spirit of peace. But if you want to truly represent Christ, you have to have the spirit of peace. Now, I have a couple scriptures here. The first one is in Matthew 5, 14 through 7 through 16, NIV. It says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. The Bible says you're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do the people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it is giving light to everyone in the house. See, the Bible says that you're the light of the world. You do not take a light and then put it under something and cover it, but the light is supposed to shine so that who? Everyone that's around can see it. When the brother talked about his testimony, he shared how God put something in his spirit to touch somebody else. We were reading in Colossians in Bible study how Peter was encouraging the saints as he was sitting in prison. He was more worried about one another, the saints, and what they were going through than his own situation. He was writing a story to the brother and saying, be thee and thou encouraged and do not be dismayed. Continue to preach the gospel of peace and share the good news with others. Sometimes we're trying to share something, but we don't understand how to get it out. So it says you're a light, and you're not supposed to hide it, but you're supposed to show it. In the 16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. This is what it's all about. Some of us don't even realize after all these years of being in church, we never understood that little message right there. And we tried to think that we're going to get stronger spiritually without having sown a spirit of righteousness through peace. Now, I know we're dealing with things in our household and things that are overcoming and overwhelming, but God is saying, can you look within inside yourself and still sow a spirit of peace? I know somebody is causing you to feel friction or there's friction among you, but God is saying the spirit of righteousness is through peace. I have this analogy. Anyone ever see a lock with a code on it? How many of you had a little bike lock before? And you lock up your bike I know when you first get a lock, especially it's not a key, it's one of them with the numbers. You ever had the ones with the numbers? And you sit there and you try to open up the lock without looking at the instructions and getting the code. First you start turning it, and you think, oh, that'll work. No, it didn't. You do it again, you move the numbers around, and you pull on it, and it doesn't work. But when you finally decide to look at the piece of paper that it came with and said, this is the code, this is the password, what happens with that lock? It just opens up. It just opens up without no restriction, no. But you think about how you were when you first tried it. You ever get a lock where something went wrong and you can't quite get it right and you forgot it? And you're like, you start to pull on it hard. This is what we're doing with our spiritual life. God has already gave us the answer, and he gave us the combination. But what is happening is we're not implementing the things that God has said that would make your life more abundantly, that would actually line you up so that you open up without a struggle. Some of us are trying to be the light of the world, and we're not spreading the gospel of peace, so we're just all up in someone's face and think that you have the code to their life, to their heart. God is saying you cannot win a soul if you don't know the combination. You cannot encourage somebody in the faith if you don't take the time to figure out what the password is. How many of you have been at work and you know somebody that might be a Christian and all they're doing is spewing out stuff? But they never took the time to get to like and encourage someone, be friends with them. I work at that BAE now, and when I'm at work, I work with someone, and he curses a lot. And I mean, they are in the military, so I was ready to say they curse like sailors, but they were cursing a lot, and I said to myself, it's kind of after a little time, it wears on you. And God began to say to me, he said, no, don't say anything. You win them with your spirit, with your kindness. I could have been there and said, no, you don't need to be talking like that. I could have caused friction, but God began to show me how to get the combination to his heart. He started showing me how to minister to this individual, even in the midst of what he was talking like. What God wants us to know is that you're the light of the world. And he said that I want you to know that when you sow peace, guess what's going to come in your life? Peace is going to come in your life. So I know you're in the midst of struggle like Paul was. He was sitting in jail writing letters, and he was trying to remind them that still encourage one another because God is still good regardless of what you're going through. So God is saying to us that if we want to really know the fruits of righteousness, then we need to sow peace. And when you sow peace, regardless of what you're going through, guess what? You're going to get your increase. Somebody said my increase. So regardless of how it feels when you're in the midst of something, you're saying, Lord, why is it that you're touching my heart to bless somebody? He said, because you're sowing peace. Why is God putting your heart to love your spouse when you're in the midst of a strong situation? You know, we've been married for many years. Sometimes you don't want to talk to each other. You're like, well, I know I'm right. It's like that lock, you know you're right. You know you have the combination. That's what it is. But what did it take for you to win that person when you started courting them? Do you think you were like, I know I'm right? You know how we get, I know I'm right. I know it's three that I'm going. But God is saying the same way you did to win them is the same thing you got to do to keep them. And same thing in the things of God. He said, I showed you. He said, through loving kindness have I drawn all men unto me. So he said, I continue to sow a spirit of peace. Sometimes we got so many doctrines that we lose that understanding. And at the end of that scripture, it says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. Say, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. See, so as you sow, you remind them. You don't even always have to remind them. You don't have to say, Jesus made me do it. You're already representing Christ when you're living right. You're already representing Christ. You don't need stickers all over your car. How many stickers do you really need? It's like, yeah, I need a sticker here. Need one here. You can't even see now where you're going. God just wants you to know is, do you have peace in your heart? Do you have it in your soul, in your spirit? Because when you sow that, you're going to be walking in righteousness. So just like the sister shared today, how she touched somebody else. I know that sometimes you're going through something, but think about it. How you feel when you bless someone else. Out of nowhere, blessings come upon you. You didn't even expect it. But God still made a way out of no way. That's how God works in my life. As I continue to give, God says, I'm going to give back unto you. So he said the gospel of peace. Let us turn to James 3, 17 and 8. I want you to receive something this morning. And this is King James. It says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to entreat, full of mercy and good fruits. Now it's saying the wisdom from above, the word from above, wisdom from above is first pure. Somebody say first pure. And then peaceable and gentle. Come on, somebody. It said full of mercy and good fruit without partiality. See, so it's not saying are you black or white, like that song with Michael. I'm black, I'm white. Without partiality, that means the word don't care. Don't care what you used to be or how you used to think. We're all now new creatures in Christ. So the word from above, when God, it comes down, it's pure. And what we do is we mess it up. We mess it up with our own way of thinking. And we try to push it on somebody. But God wants you to know that he loves you and that he wants you to love one another. Turn to Hebrews 2:17. When you are going through, when Jesus came here on earth, do you know that he took on all of our sins? Now, I'm really impressed with what Jesus did, because Jesus could have came as a spirit. He could have came as a Holy Spirit. He could have came just floating around. He could have came in a supernatural body like we do on them superheroes, Ventures, Black Panther. Some of us are still looking for Wakanda. We're like, I want to be part of Wakanda. Where is it? Where is it? We're trying to figure out where we want to go. But right here, it says in this scripture, Hebrews, the second chapter, 17th verse, it says, therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in all things. Someone said all things. Why did he have to be made like his brothers in all things? So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. He had to become this way. Sometimes we study the word for a long time. We study it a lot. I know the word inside and out. I know it in the back of my hand. I can flip it over, turn it around, step on it, and still know it. But he said what Jesus was saying in the word of God is saying that he had to become. See the word become, that means he had to transform into something. He said he had to wear what we were wearing. He had to sound and look like we look and experience what we were going through so that he could minister to the people. God does not want you to be high and mighty and all stuck on yourself. He wants you to understand that. He wants you to reach down and touch somebody. He wants you to become as so that you can relate to. Now, I'm not saying go and smoke weed because someone else is smoking weed. I'm not telling you to go drink because someone else see. But to become as is where you understand what they're going through. You have enough humility where you can actually say, you know what, I understand. I just want to, you know, and that's why some people that recover from something, they sometimes are used as a good witness. But God is saying he can keep you. So I want to make sure you get that too, that God can keep you from. But those that God has delivered from something, he wants you to be used by him. Amen? Say, I want to be used by the Lord. Amen? Let's give God another praise. I'm almost done. It says, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. See that? It's to make petition for the sins of the people. See, so now he can make petition for the sins of the people. He can stand in the gap. Who are you standing in the gap for? That individual that's placed in your life for you to minister to, you got to figure out the combination. You got to figure it out. And the only way you're going to get the information is the information from above. Someone say from above. Not from a friend, not from a gossiper, but God said from above it's pure. From above it's pure and it's loving and it's kind and it's patient. So the information you need for your breakthrough is going to come from above, but it's got to be peaceable. So even though you want to tell somebody what Jesus said, you know how we do it back in the day. You hypocrite. You know what the Bible said. You ready to hit him over the head with it because you know something. But God said with a peaceful spirit, you have to figure out the combination to their situation. That means you have to take the time to study and give and get the information so that you have the right combination to their heart, to your children's heart, to your co-worker's heart, to your to the fellowship heart. God has created us even from the beginning. The Bible says when God created man, it was good. And then think, the very first family, the sons went out and was killing each other. The very first family that was created in the Garden of Eden, they still was not listening to what God required of them. So they lost the promise. They lost the gift that God has given them, which is life. And because of that, now we're dealing with death. Now we're dealing with cancer. Now we're dealing with sickness. Now we're dealing with all these things. Because you know why? Because a man was like this. Oh, you know, I'm smarter now. The devil talked to man and was telling him, guess what? You don't need to listen no more. That's what we do even in the church. Oh, you don't need to listen to pastor anymore. He don't know nothing. Matter of fact, I've been studying more than him. God is saying a peaceable spirit. And see, the thing about a peaceable spirit is this. A peaceable spirit can't just show up. It's got to show itself and reveal itself. See, what we want to do is we want to go to a service where it's like hooting and hollering. I know sometimes God, like last week was a breakout. The spirit was so mighty, even a week before it was a breakout. But sometimes you got to know that God is trying to reach you in a way so that you can do damage against the enemy. And you can't do damage against the enemy if you're always bound up and oppressed and not feeling good. So God is saying your victory is going to come in the report of the Lord. So whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. So even though somebody's telling me I can't make it, I got a peaceable spirit where I'm going to say, you know what, I'm going to keep on loving because that's what the Bible says. That's what the Word of God says. There's too many broken up families. Look at, if you look at your own situation, why do you think the enemy is coming after families? Because families are the key. Everybody's like this. I don't need them no more. I don't need her or him no more. When you made a vow to the Lord, it was yours to keep. When you made a vow to the Lord, you invited man and the Lord there. When you invited that priest to come before you, you made a vow to God that to death do you part. You made a vow to God that you're going to work through something. You made a vow to God that you're going to stand in the midst of battle and you're going to still be holding that individual's hand. But we don't have the gospel of peace anymore. We got the gospel of self-righteousness. Now there are situations in your life where you're going to have to go another way. But the gospel of peace is enough to give you breakthrough. You see what I'm saying? The gospel of peace is enough to restore your heart. The gospel of peace is going to actually fix you and make you operate correctly. How many of you want to receive what God is saying today? Just raise your hands. Hallelujah. The gospel of peace. My job is not to sit here and just give you a place to fellowship. My job is to actually look at you and see the increase. That means I'm to look at you and observe you and see an increase in your life. How many of you planted a flower, a little pot? And I remember in school, they gave us a little seed and a little pot, and they gave it when we were kids. Any of you remember that? They gave you a little pot of dirt and gave you a seed, said, go home and grow it. And your test was how well you grew that plant. And I know some of us, we were like playing. We did not, that thing was dry. It started growing at first, and this is how we are. I remember when I was a kid, I was like, come back, water. Mom, I'm going to water this plant. Yay, yay. It was all good. After 2 days, it was like, my mother's like, aren't you going to water? Oh. I'm going to play baseball. I'm going to play. Then that thing become dust. Do you ever hit the soil? It's like poof, poof. This is the same with your life. At first, you're excited. You receive the Lord into your life, and you were moved by the Spirit, and God began to do something in your life. And guess what? You stop allowing Him to continue to water you. You stop allowing God to give you all that you need in the soil so that you can grow in a real, real way. I want to grow spiritually in a real, real way. Now, I got one more passage and I'm going to let you go. I hope you're receiving this. Give God some praise. So it says things pertaining to God to make the petition for the sins of the people. So God is making a petition for the sins of the people. In the last scripture says here, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I feel the compassion of the people because they have remained with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want them to send them away hungry. It's saying Jesus was so compassionate that he felt their hunger. He didn't say you just need a gospel. He knew you needed to eat. You're all here to take care of one another. Even as we grow and as we build this church, and we're talking about building a church that might hold 1,000 people, but I want you to tell you that you little becomes much when you place it in God. I want you to take the little bit that you receive today and place it in your heart. I know there's so many traditions that you were used to doing. I'm telling you, stop the traditions and start walking holy, walking with Christ. Get to know him. Stay close to him. And when others come in your life, don't push them away. Say, stay with me and see God work in you.
Praise God. This is Pastor Mark Choate of New England Pentecostal House of Praise. I pray that you receive the word of God that was ministered today. I know that it's going to be a blessing to you and your family. Continue to listen to Revival Today. We hope to see you in Manchester, New Hampshire, 1850 Elm Street. Service time, 10 a.m. Come visit us. Have a nice day.